Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, welcome back, folks. And it is now or never. And what I need to do is I need to kind of regroup as to where we're going and where we've been. Because since the beginning of the year, we kind of start with this curriculum. Believe it or not, what I try to do is I try to help give you an academic case of, you know, why we need to save this Constitution. But I try to take this historical look, and I even start off with the scale of liberty. And the scale of liberty is, if you want to call it a philosophical, ideological, whatever you want to call it, it is how we, the people, govern in these different forms of government. Our form of government was a government that was designed to actually protect and preserve liberty. I want to be clear here. When you look at the scale of liberty, on the one end of liberty, those who are in that space, on that end of the dial, they are the ones that believe everybody must choose for themselves. Everybody must get the information. We've got to give them access to the information so that they have the ability to do the due diligence and make the best choices for themselves. We happen to live in a time when we have people that want to actually control and indoctrinate people, whether it be for a conservative control or whether it be for a, you know, I'll just call it a progressive control or a statist control, full control. Either way, the state will control you for conservative or for, you know, in other words, a secular or non-denominational Christian or a godless secular. Because when we look at secular, the framers used the term secular for a non-denominational Christian government. In other words, it wasn't a specific government of a specific faith or Christianity, but it was a Christian nation. But it wasn't a Christian nation that engulfed itself into the doctrines and the dogma of Christianity. It was based on the laws of nature and nature's God, which is why we covered that as well. And so we kind of dove into this because the concept was that we can't back any type of faith or any type of truly religion. We have to allow people the freedom to choose what they can and what they can't, you know, do for themselves for worship. As long as you don't, you know, you're not doing child sacrifices and those types of things, then... But we formed this, and the states at that point were not constrained in having their own faith and administering to the people how they saw fit. The federal government itself was to be a hands-off government. Now, as we move forward as states, the states themselves became non-denominational as they stripped away these, whatever their established Christian faith was. Anglican was the prominent one through the colonies or through these independent states, but each of the states had their own church. They didn't have a national church. Each state had its own leadership of the clergy. And so, interestingly enough, as they moved away from supporting the churches directly and allowing a non-denominational twist, it opened the door to godless secularism. So what the states maybe should have done was they should have actually said, you know what, we want to make sure. Because when the federal government crossed this point of this separation of church and state, they actually started teaching secular godlessness, and they started ramming that down our throats in the early 1900s with the Scopes Trial. It all started there. and they've reached into and they started violating the Bill of Rights. Because when it says that Congress shall make no law, the federal government shall make no law, when the bench made the law that you cannot teach these types of things and you must teach this other godlessness religion, then they created the Antichrist Church. That was the beginning of going after and eradicating Christ from the education system and from our society. Had churches or had states actually maintained some form of, and I won't say a state-sponsored church, but basically allowed and maintained the churches to be the principal suppliers of education, to allow the churches to maintain as the principal suppliers of healthcare, and all of the different compassionate services that the churches were doing. Because when the state stopped doing that, the churches started struggling. The evangelical movement came in, and I've covered all of this. I know I covered this in my book, but I covered this as a part of the curriculum. When the evangelical movement came in and you had these traveling troops, they would actually create despair and I will just say they created a vacuum of money and the ability to help. Because when they would come into your town, they'd set up the tent and all of the people would give their money to these people because they just performed miracles. They'd pack up and go. Well, that money left with them. It was no longer in the town. So in other words, they were tithing to a group of people that took their money and ran. So when they actually had a problem, they weren't there to take care of them. The church, its responsibility is to provide the services, the compassionate services, for those who are in need. It's not the job of the state. Madison clearly made this point, and this is why later on we'll go through the cod fishery bounties, why they are not supposed to be providing welfare, education, and those types of things. That's why the states needed to maintain a symbiotic relationship to allow the churches, all churches. So in Virginia, is the Episcopals, or I should say not the Episcopals, the it was the Episcopal Church that was running it, or the Anglican Church, not the Episcopal, because the Episcopal was England. They had their own Anglican Church, and they kind of had their separation from that. But as the Baptists started preaching, and this is why we need to get into Madison's remonstrance on religion, as the Baptists were preaching, they were being thrown in jail because who was controlling the government or who had a relationship with the government to say, hey, you need to make a law that they have to be certified by us. And if they're not certified by us, they can't preach. And so that's what they did. They actually started, they made these laws to go after these people. And what the state should have done was they should have had and told the churches that they needed to respect each other and, you know, get along. As new Christian faiths were developing and arising here in America, because we had lots of them. And a lot of them, the evangelical movement, that's as I just told you. So anyway, all of this, you know, plays into both the scale of liberty, this plays into natural law, but just to be clear here, because I've got to go back to the scale of liberty. Those people who truly believe that everybody must choose, learn for themselves, and make the decisions ultimately for themselves what to do, those are the folks that actually want you to have liberty. Anybody else that, you know, wants to have some level of control to keep you from doing this or creating a blue law or those types of things, then, because do you believe that Christ believed or under his new form of Christianity that he created, the new covenant under the New Testament, do you think he wanted to actually have, you know, the dictates be told and force people to do certain things? Not at all. You know, when the adulteress, you know, was left behind and they had their little conversation, he basically, he didn't necessarily forgive her, but he told her to go and sin no more. And so what we have to do is we have to help people, you know, come to the side of liberty. And what I am telling you is most of the people that are shades away from that are on their path of some level of control. In other words, the far end is a dark black end where the state controls everything. Whether the state controls Christianity and dictates that and comes up with their own laws and enforcement, you know, you can go down this path of, you know, for all the noble intents and reasons. I mean, look at how the countries of Europe had nothing but religious wars. You think that was good? You think God was pleased that they were trying to control and kill each other? He blessed America not because of a single religion. He blessed America because we put aside our religious differences and sought to create a union of harmony. And that's how he blessed us. So the states need to do the same. The states needed to do the same, and they didn't. So when I look at and when I talk about this scale of liberty, I want you to understand that the conservatives, the patriots, there are many of them that are in this concept of control. Now, there's this apostate. This is why we've been trying to uncover. This is why we've been trying to help you understand that if you become an inhabitant, you throw away your birthright, this citizenship. You're not right. I forget where it is. It's in the New Testament somewhere. It's maybe Philippians or somewhere, Thessalonians. It's, you know, now be no longer strangers, but fellow citizens in the Church of Christ. Well, he created, by this Constitution, a citizenship of liberty. It may not have anything to do with the salvation of your soul and your, you know, eternal life, but it has everything to do with creating a government that allows you to freely choose and enhance. I said this earlier this week, and I forget the economist that did this, but he had a video of these, you know, balls or these pegs of innovation and liberty and so forth, and what happens in societies when all of a sudden the people are unleashed to actually have this liberty of being able to do things. And anyway, I'll wrap this up when we come back so that we can kind of move forward with what we need to do. We'll be right back after this promo. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so the one thing that I really want to help you understand is on the scale of liberty, and I talk about this coin, that there's two sides of the same coin. I look at those who are trying to create theocracies because they exist. There are people that are trying to move back towards a version, a specific form or an acceptable form of Christianity where, you know, they want to actually invoke those types of government laws. And I'm going, oh my gosh, you know, how wrong are we? And then I also look at these patriots who are actually checking out and becoming inhabitants by, you know, surrendering and giving up their birthright as a citizen of the United States. These folks are apostates. And as far as I consider, I think they're more dangerous to what we need to do, because they're getting people to indulge in saving themselves when they're actually not. I think what we really need to do, because I truly believe as a free society, we need to actually, or I should say a liberal, liberty-minded society, that people need to make their choices. But when people make their choices, they must acknowledge the consequences of their choice. When you surrender your citizenship, you are no longer entitled to have a right of due process. You're no longer entitled to not have cruel and unusual punishments. These are all entitlements that have been granted to U.S. citizens. Now, I'm not telling you that America needs to be unjust and we need to have a separate penal system that we can really, you know, create racks and chambers of torture and that type of thing to these people, these poor people that have made these ill decisions. I don't know what the process is other than to petition the United States government to actually become a citizen again. And boy, what a humbling thing. And they're not going to do it right now, because the real problem with these folks that are doing this is that they actually believe that this government, what they are doing is legitimate. They believe that these governors, these people in office, or what they are doing is legitimate. And it's not. So one of the things that's kind of come up, because I got notified by my good friend, Paul Venable, that if you actually start applying in our petitions this thing, and I forget, I don't have it in front of me, but something of a notice of liability, something like that, that these people, if you actually tell them that you're holding them and coming after them in a notice of liability, that they will actually resign on the spot. And I'm going, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that we actually accept the facts? And we have to actually look into what this is, because if a person that is in public service has actually sworn themselves beyond the oath of office, they have sworn themselves into something else, as, you know, like, you know, taking out this bond and all of that, because there's no constitutional requirement for a public servant to have a bond. And there's no requirement for a public servant to be held to anything other than the Constitution. So if they're held to something else, that this notice of liability, you know, then we actually have to tell them that they need to abjure themselves from that notice of liability and do what is necessary. Because bottom line, they're the ones that actually need to, at the state legislative level, we all need to pursue to undo this. We all need to make sure that our those who are governing us are not fettered by unconstitutional laws. You know, we get into this all the time, and I'm probably going to get into this today. A corporation, an HOA, cannot create a law that actually subjugates you or takes away your privileges and immunities. To be clear, the 14th Amendment, I've got to say this over and over and over again until you get it. No state shall make or enforce any law that abridges the privileges and immunities of a U.S. citizen. That means that your public servants can't be held to a law that abridges their privileges and immunities. They are U.S. citizens representing U.S. citizens, or representing the citizens, the U.S. citizens of a county in a constitutional form state, in a right, wrong, or indifferent. There are some states that came into the union that have been done unconstitutionally, but Congress does have the power to admit them. They are states, even though everything that they have done or that they were told to do by Congress, you know, to come across the finish line, all of these stipulations were unconstitutional. All these things cracked free like a crust over something that just breaks when the thing actually starts moving the way it's supposed to move, and it falls to the earth. Folks, we have everything we need. And I every time I look at the Constitution and I look at what our government has become, and I say, the Constitution saves that. The Constitution fixes that. It fixes our currency. It fixes everything. Everything that we are facing that is, you know, is what we call the peril or our doom around the corner. The Constitution protects us and saves us from those things. Now, so this is one of the reasons why we get into American republicanism. And so out of the topics that we covered the scale of liberty, laws of nature, nature's God. We also covered American republicanism, and we covered the Tory Acts. And out of these things, I want to tell you something. Those people who are supporting communism, supporting the Bolshevik Revolution, there are consequences to that. They have to understand that as U.S. citizens, they are obligated. And bottom line, they have to live with the consequences of their choice. If they truly believe that they have a right to actually overthrow our Constitution and supporting this continually perversion and sliding into this abyss of this global statist government, then we have to slap their butts with the Tory Acts. And I say the same thing with the inhabitants. Anybody that, as a patriot, you go down the path of saying, I'm not going to be a citizen anymore. Because bottom line, your obligation of the citizen is to defend, support, and defend that U.S. Constitution, not the government. And if you believe that what they're doing is legitimate, then you're not supporting the Constitution. You've bought into the fact that the Constitution itself is wrong, and you are wrong. The Constitution has none of that. There is nothing within that Constitution that created any of these problems. Every problem that we're facing is all from violations of the Constitution where people acted and did things without the authority to do it, even our debt. So anybody out there that's becoming an inhabitant, you are being fair warned that either you go back and you plead to get your citizenship back. And some of these folks that did this legitimately, because there are people that are living among us that are inhabitants that are not paying federal taxes. They're not a part of the system. They shouldn't be allowed to vote. They shouldn't actually be allowed to have a driver's license. They shouldn't be driving on our roads technically. Because the states do have a right to build roads, to tax us. And if they've abjured themselves as a citizen and they're just an inhabitant, they're no longer a citizen in your state either. Because to be a citizen in your state, you have to be a U.S. citizen. If not, you become an inhabitant and you are living in no man's land. And your butt deserves to be slapped with the Tory Acts just as well. And we need to start deporting people. And here's the problem. The people that are communists, there's all sorts of great places to go because communism is everywhere now. Where are these inhabitants going to go? That's a question that they need to really address because bottom line, when you make a decision, there are consequences that come with that decision. You know, it's like these kids that choose to go down these paths of perversions. If they choose to actually change themselves and morph into something that, you know, is not what God made them and to embrace a carnal state, you know, I make the argument that we have become a carnal state and a carnal nation. Just due to the fact that everybody wants revenge. They want to have a politician with, you know, to give us revenge. That's carnal. So when I look at these, you know, these communists, sure, no problem. Those people need, they've got a place to go. Where are you going to go if you're an inhabitant? What, Venezuela, Chile? I mean, all of the countries are falling. They're falling quickly. And they're sliding into the global abyss. And that China, you know, is using its manipulation. And I mean, look at how many nations are now trading with China. Even if the global currency goes to the yuan, we have the ability to sustain and support ourselves. But we also have the ability, and this is why I have to tell you, the Constitution will even solve the world's problems, because none of these states, the people of these states, none of them want to be subjugated to China. And the best way to actually thwart what China is doing is, you know what I'm saying, is we have to have a leader in America that is willing to tell the world that you need to get into a territorial status with the United States. You need to basically send these tyrants a message. But I want to be clear here. When we look at the coin, the two sides of the same coin, people are making a choice. They're choosing a what we call a totalitarian government. Is that totalitarian government going to be faith-based, or is it going to be godless? Because both of them are statist governments. Both of them, some have the appearance of, you know, a much better godly type of thing, but it's not. It is void of God when you actually start subjugating man and taking away man's liberty. Anyway, we'll be right back after this promo.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so to kind of wrap up on kind of where we've been, you know, curriculum-wise and why we're covering all this stuff is, you know, because I just kind of brought up the Tory Acts. Obviously, we have a mechanism. And as a matter of fact, the way they designed the Constitution, you know, we don't have to allow inhabitants to be here. We can actually say, look, you violate our laws, you get caught, you know, you drive on our roads, you do these things, then we're going to deport you because you don't have rights anymore. You may have a right as a sovereign citizen to do whatever you want, but you can't clash with the supreme laws of this land. Now, we need to be a just and humane society. And I don't believe it is humane to put somebody, to incarcerate somebody. If somebody does not want to be a U.S. citizen anymore, then we need to basically appease them and let them move and deport them somewhere else. You surrender your property, you're surrendering everything. Remember what the Tory Acts did. It allowed you to go live a life somewhere else. And so there's lots of people that can't afford to go live somewhere else, to start all over, because they're at that point in their life. There are way too many seniors that are getting involved in this stuff, and they can't afford to lose everything and go somewhere else. Shame on these people for perverting their minds. American republicanism and understanding American republicanism is so important that we have a government that recognizes the sovereignty of the people in their associations and in their areas of interest, their vicinages, as they referred to it during the colonial and state days, the early days of the states. In other words, you're a citizen of a county, you're a citizen of a town, and you have a right to a representative government. Only you and those people who live in that town. It is repugnant, it is unconstitutional and illegal in our form of government to allow an influencer to actually pervert and seize control of your representation. Let's make this, let's place context to this, because I just spoke a little bit about the political ease of controlling states and so forth. One of the things that Lord Acton said was power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? So why are we not talking about the power influencers like Gates, Soros, and the rest of the maggots, and I really call them maggots, because what does a maggot feed upon? It feeds upon rot. They are creating, these maggots are creating a pile of crap out of our society that they can feast upon. This is how perverse this is. And when you look at where all of these people, whether they're big maggots or little maggots, because we have influencers. Let's talk about influencers. Influencers are people who try to get you to do something. And that's okay if it happens to do, you know, buy music. It's okay if it's, you know, what food you want to eat or, you know, how you want to live. That's okay. But when it comes to government, it is not okay. Want to be clear here. When Gates spends money in local elections or in your, and when I say a local election, Gates lives in a very specific vicinage. In other words, he lives in a town, he lives in a county, and he lives in a state. And only in those vicinages does he have a right to actually inject money or anything else. The reason why these people are so rich is because we've allowed them to use their money to buy us, to buy our government, to rule us. It is not legal under our Constitution. As a matter of fact, it is a violation of our Republican form of government to allow somebody that has no say on who your representative should be to allow them. See, they've actually created laws to allow this to happen. You have to take your county and state back and say, we no longer allow any money, no money from outside of the area of the election. Even from corporations, if a corporation exists in that county, like Walmart, then only Walmart's money that it earns in that town can it spend money in that town and in the county race and in that state race. It has to prove that the money coming from it came from the profits of that store. That Walmart can't funnel money from around the world as it makes money, you know, from everybody into your town. See, we've created, and government has become the monkey for corporations. I'll just say it that way. There was a B word that I was going to use. But anyway, they've become this, not just a monkey, but they have become the evil enforcers and the police state for the corporations. They can't do that. The 14th Amendment doesn't allow that. The Constitution doesn't allow that. The Constitution doesn't allow government, the federal government, to be involved in any business or corporation. Where's that power delegated, folks? Where? Oh, the power of commerce to regulate among the commerce among the states. That's it. Nowhere is there any mention that they can have a corporation, regulate a corporation, or even create regulations for corporations. Are you starting to see the picture here, folks? We go through the Constitution. This is one of the reasons why we want to get these Constitution, and I'm hoping this weekend I'm actually going to start hacking at these things so I can be prepared to give, you know, my curator of the Republic Review channel on YouTube. And please do not forget to subscribe to the channel. So when we start getting these things up there, I'm very, very busy. I've got lots of things to do, and I can't do it all. And I can't, I've said this so many times. I am so blessed. You know, the only reason I'm doing this show is because of you, because of the blessings that you're giving me. I cannot deny you these blessings either. So anyway, we're going to get these things up. We're going to get these things done. But the thing that I really, I say it at the end of every show, but I need to say it now. We need your help. We need you to actually start consecrating far more time. You know, I'm not going to tell you personally when we talk, if we talk, if I deal with you, I'm not going to say these things to you personally, but I'm telling everybody, you need to find, there's far more time in your day and your life to consecrating to liberty. I believe that you need to be studying the scriptures. I believe you need to be helping people. You need to be compassionate. We need to do good things. But the most important thing that we're facing right now is the loss of liberty, taking away everybody's liberty. And whether we can no longer freely learn and choose for ourselves based on the truth, because the truth is being wiped out. The truth is being eradicated. So what is more important than preserving liberty and preserving the truth? I ask you. And so please, you know, if you've ever attended college, usually when you attend college, one of the first things that they'll kind of do in introductory college, whether it be community college, what have you, is they'll actually tell you to create a time, you know, a log for your day and to keep it for a couple of weeks. And for every 15 minutes of the day, you indicate what you did. You brushed your teeth. You know, you were in the bathroom for 30 minutes doing bathroom stuff. And then you got dressed. That took another 15 minutes. And so most of these things, your drive to work took 30 minutes. So it's two blocks. And so most of these things will actually help you see, you know, I went to sleep. I got up out of bed. So I went to bed, got up out of bed. And you'll actually start seeing if you actually write down what you do, what you did with that time in your day, you will start to see opportunity cost to where you say, you know what? I spend a lot of time watching TV. And that watching TV is really detrimental. I am here to tell you that you, if you look at what you're doing, you will find the time. Because there's no doubt in my mind, I know we're all busy, but we're not really in control of our lives because we are reacting and then we have to decompress. And your decompressing could actually change into something productive. One of the best things to do in decompressing is doing something productive, doing something that actually makes you feel good, like learning, what have you. And what you need to do, what I need everybody to do, is to actually start learning and understanding these fundamental principles. These fundamental principles cannot be denied. When you look at our Republican form of government and what Roger Sherman did in the Connecticut Compromise was truly a divine epiphany in acknowledging that we actually have sovereignty. We, the people, surrender our sovereignty when we create a government. That county government is the base government of a state. And that county government should have a constitution. We should be delegating powers to that county government. Did the state create the county or did the county create the state? And in America, the counties created the state. So we have to actually start. This is why part of the exit criteria is for your constitutional counties. You have to have a constitution for your county. And we need everybody involved. We need the people. We, the people of each county, have to start uniting and say we need to actually create and delegate power to this county, because we have failed to do that. And even though I know lots of people are really focused on the county and state, we have to work in parallel, because we absolutely need to get the states to understand this message, because the time is going to come very quickly when the federal government says we're setting aside this constitution. We no longer acknowledge and can't live under this constitution because we can't pay our debts. We can't do these things. And this is when the states must take the stand. This is when the states absolutely have to put their foot down and say, you do not have the authority or power to do that. That is our compact. Only we can put it aside. You have no authority to do these things and have been doing all of these things outside the granted authority you don't possess. So anyway, we'll be right back after this next promo. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so getting back to this whole power corrupts absolutely, this has everything to do with our Republican form of government and understanding that we, the people, form our county government, and the county government is what, by using delegates from the counties, go and form that state government. And then if you look at the creation of the federal government or the general government, the states delegated people and went and formed that general government. So it all comes from we the people, and our governments. But the most important government in America is your county government. And not one person understands this. Now, well, I can't say that anymore. There's way too few people that understand this. And they don't understand the tiers and levels of sovereignty, that the most of the sovereignty for government belongs at your county level, not at your state. And you don't need to have a huge government. Actually, if you understand the self-governing system, then this is where we kind of have to go through this concept that every citizen has a responsibility to defend the Constitution and needs to be actively engaged in government. This is why we talked about this vast groupings of what I'll call juries, not jury assemblies or jural assemblies, but these different juries at your county level that are actually overseeing and determining whether your media platforms are violating your rights and trying to twist and subvert you and become propaganda machines. Because we have to look at media platforms as a potential hostile operation or a hostile entity within our government, within our county, within our state, and within our nation. And if we start getting it right, folks, boy, we will clean this nation up quickly. These juries will also, it's not just a court jury. The jury will be determining whether your politicians are violating their oath or not. We'll actually have a jury that reviews what they do. Did they make the right decision when they voted for this? If they didn't, then we need to hold them accountable. Because they took an oath of office, and they don't understand that oath because they don't understand that Constitution, and they just start moving agendas forward. This is how we get rid of them, by using these juries, by creating a constitutional county. There's going to be a jury that will actually look at, you know, the businesses and corporations and your HOAs. Are they creating rules and trying to have laws and policies that actually violate and literally take away the privileges or immunities that you were to enjoy? Yes, if that's the case, then the HOA can be basically, the counties will start scrubbing and cleaning up all of this. But we, the people, have to do it. We can't trust the bureaucrats at the state or at the federal level. You have the opportunity. You live in a county that it should be an hour drive at the most. There are some counties that are way too big, but that's because there's the, you know, population is really small. And I understand that. And so if you don't have that much going on, do you really need to have a healthcare administration at your county? If you don't, then maybe you can create a cooperation between multiple counties. Do you have to have a jail system in your one county? You can create a shared jail system among many counties. We have to be able to start figuring out how we can actually work together in, you know, holding our government and holding, you know, and supporting the supreme law of the land. But remember, this jury will actually be able to remove politicians, because remember, one of the goals is to actually enforce the supreme law of the land, which means Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Folks, when we actually get our arms around all of this, this is why I'm kind of going through some, this is what I call marketing. You know, I used to do this all the time, and I know today's Feedback Friday, but I've been so moved that I'm really trying to do things. And this is why what we're going to do with the ratification debates is I want to pull some people into this. I've talked to Paul Venable, and I know he's on board with doing this. Now, whether he can do this every week or not, you know, based on his schedule, we'll find out. But what I'd like to do is, because if you really want to learn, then what we want to do is kind of let you know what we're going to cover the next day. And if we don't cover all of it, we're going to tell you that, you know, when we're done doing that day of the ratification debate, what we plan on covering, you know, what parts of the Constitution we're going to be covering. Or I should say the ratification debates. Now, the very beginning of the ratification debates, when we cover them, we're actually just going to generally cover, you know, Delaware and what Delaware did. And we're going to cover the next state that ratified, Pennsylvania. And I guess what we want to do is really go down the order of how the states ratified the debates. Because by doing that, we can start looking at, well, when Delaware did it, you know, did they set precedents, or did they just quickly rubber stamp this thing? They quickly rubber stamped it. And we're going to find out that Massachusetts actually created precedents. Because once Massachusetts actually ratified the Constitution, they did something that everybody followed suit with Massachusetts. And we're going to talk about, you know, who the brilliant person was, it was two people that actually took the lead in Massachusetts. We're going to expose that to you. So you're going to go, wow. I mean, this is just fascinating to understand how all of this unraveled. But it all unraveled because there were organizations within the states that, you know, were cabals, that they were doing everything, desperately doing everything they needed to actually protect and actually try to ensure that the Constitution wasn't ratified. The Anti-Federalists were state cabals. It's not like they were actually kind of working together and helping each other, you know, learn lessons. Oh, well, they failed in Pennsylvania, so this is what we need to focus on, because it seemed like we were gaining traction on questioning the veracity or the validity of the Constitutional Convention. So each state tried to play that one out, and they tried to play out the lack of a Bill of Rights and so forth. Massachusetts kind of frustrated some of that. But when we actually start looking at the ratification debates, it's, again, I've said this before, it's like Ezekiel or Isaiah, whichever one that talks about speaking from the dust. The truth is to be revealed, and it is going to come from the voices in the dust that will show us the truth of what this Constitution is. Understanding this makes it so much easier. I mean, I don't want to be, and I don't consider myself the ultimate knowledge on the constitutional history. I'm not. But I understand it so well that I can tell you whether something's constitutional or not. And everybody needs to get into that space. What is constitutional? Well, is it something delegated? Was it properly delegated? You know, when I look at the state governments and the state constitutions, there's way too many things that were passed via democracy, where I challenge, you know, should the state really be doing that? Just because the majority of the people wanted it, that doesn't mean that the Republican form of government was operating. Because your counties have been silenced. Ever since Reynolds v. Sims, your counties have been silenced. And many states were created that didn't even understand the county role within those states. Most of the later states, Oklahoma and so forth, they don't understand the counties. The western states, they don't understand the importance of the counties. It's like this epiphany. People start going, wow, I didn't realize that the state was actually created by the counties. Who'd have thunk? Anyway, one of the last things that we kind of want to wrap up on, I got less than 2 minutes. It's a sad indictment when we really start looking at those people who have these political aspirations. They're tyrants. These are tyrants seeking a totalitarian regime. Whether they like it or not, whether they believe it or not, when somebody starts using demagoguery, that leads towards a totalitarian regime. And America has been flopping back and forth between one form of totalitarianism, light, to another form of light totalitarianism. But over time, the totalitarian gets stronger and stronger. And which way are we going to flop last? To where they seize full control? Who knows? But we still have time to change that flopping going, you know, from east to west to actually going north. In other words, going to the high ground and actually restoring our constitutional republic so it doesn't flop anymore. It's kind of like the pendulum. You know, the pendulum can be controlled to going one way or the other, like those little balls on a string. We have a pendulum that actually, this ball on this string is actually can spin in any direction. The way we get it from spinning, or actually the way we get it from swinging back and forth, is to bring that ball all the way back up, pull up all the ropes so it doesn't swing anymore. In other words, to do that, we have to get everything founded back on the Constitution and have the structure that will actually function the way the Constitution was supposed to function, creating constitutional counties, constitutional states, and therefore creating a constitutional nation. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.